Good morning. How's my family today? Awesome. What worship this morning? Was that music fantastic? Let's pray. Dear God, you've brought us together. And I pray for my brothers and sisters here and my brothers and sisters who are not. Be with them. Also, Lord, the words that you have given me for this week, I pray would be fruitful and show evidence of your love. Amen. That was a great testimony from Helen, wasn't it? And she didn't know what my message is. And it has almost everything to do with that. So that's the Holy Spirit that works. Dion, just so you know, I have water. So... What I'm going to be speaking on today is what I would classify as milk. For the new Christian, the non-Christian, but not only that, it's meat for us all. If there are any concerns, questions about this, I pray that you would reach out and send an email to Bobby Beaumont at ifish.com. I'm going to start with reading Acts 12, 1 to 17. Please bear with me. I haven't been reading for very long. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. When he saw that this pleased the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to the guards by four squads, to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter, sleeping between two soldiers who had bound him with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals," and Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." The angel told him, I should have not paused so long between that. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me," the angel said. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea what was happening and what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. When Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's, Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were anticipating. When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overwhelmed she ran back without opening it and exclaimed, "Peter is at the door." "You're out of your mind," they told her. When she kept insisting that it was so, they said it must be his angel. But Peter kept on knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet and described how the Lord had brought him out of prison. "Tell James and the brothers about this," he said, and then he left for another place. Before we take a closer look at this passage, let's look at the truth about prayer. In the times of the Old Testament, communication with God was not regularly done through prayer. Although God spoke directly to some people in biblical history, like Adam and Eve, and Abram, Moses, Noah, several more, the original form of communication was done through the prophets. Early Jews received guidance to live righteous lives, and they were warned against sinfulness and encouraged to return to a healthy relationship with God through the visions and dreams that were given to the prophets by God. Prophets were considered the voice of God on earth. Their visions were interpreted and relayed to the people as his will. Prophets had a divine connection with God to receive the messages that God wanted his people to hear. And the true prophets had a documented track record of visions that were proven to come true. They actually had to write them down. This gave them the credibility that people required, because we as humans are a skeptical bunch, aren't we? We want true, tangible evidence that we can hold in our hand, something material. Nothing gives a person more credibility than correctly interpreting a Pharaoh's dream about 7 years of feast and 7 years of lean. God used the prophets for communication with his people, but it was often a one-way relationship. If someone wanted to find out what God's will for them was, they would go to a prophet and have him intercede on their behalf. If someone wanted to be forgiven for a sin, they would buy a calf, take it to the temple, and have the priest kill it on their behalf. This is not God's design for you. He wants a close, personal relationship with you, one that has honest, open, soulful communication that draws you closer to him. Let's look at James 4:8. Cool. Before I go any further, let me just say that Virginia worked really hard on part of this. Everybody in the office worked really hard on this. The tech department worked really hard on this. And Sarah is fulfilling it. Thank you. "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." Does that not just cut to the quick? Christians have the promise of eternal relationship with Christ. However, sin affects that relationship. Our fellowship with the Heavenly Father is broken by sin. And James reminds us, if we humble ourselves and confess, God is faithful and just to forgive us so that we can draw near to Him, with the promise that He will draw near to us. So, what does that mean? To draw near to God means to develop a personal relationship with Him. Actively seek Him through prayer, devotion, worship, and living a life that is in line with His teaching. And to have a personal relationship with God means a loving connection with God. This involves trusting Him in all things, a faith in His will for us, and worshiping Him by prayer without ceasing. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 5:16 and 17. Paul says, "Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ." He's asking us to pray continually. Always have open communication with our God. The direct line that God has given you for communication has no roaming charges, no long-distance fees, and no busy signals. And yet, we still don't pray like we should. He has an open line for us to use any time, day or night, and He wants us to use it. Do you remember praying as a child when you went to bed? Do you still pray that way now? Too often we forget to pray with our Father. It's only when we need something or we're in trouble that we resort to prayer. But this is not what God wants for us. Prayer is not something we should resort to. It is something that we should do as we want to do, to communicate with our God. He wants you to pray in all circumstances, and He loves communication with you so much. It is actually compared to incense in the Bible. Sarah, could you put up Psalms 141, 2a, please? "May my prayer be set before you like incense." Well, it's kind of odd today, right? However, when David wrote this, this was an expression of his desire that his prayers be as pleasing to God as incense. During David's time, incense was very important in worship. It was actually burnt as an act of holy worship. If you have been brought up in the church, some of you may not even remember a time before you knew God. Maybe you still talk to God as easily as it came to you as a child. Children have a natural innocence and a matter-of-fact way about them that allows them to approach prayer as normal conversation. And as a child, I went as far as praying for my toothbrush at night. Although I've been praying since infancy, I don't consider myself a good prayer. I'm not an eloquent speaker. I don't always have the words to say. And I am very clumsy grammatically. If Char was here right now, she would tell you that. In fact, I pray the way I talk. But God doesn't want anything different from us. He doesn't want you to be somebody you are not when you pray. He wants to hear from you, your words. Be who you are. As adults and new Christians, we tend to make things more difficult than they are. Praying is not meant to be hard. We may be nervous or dry-mouthed or don't know what to say. We don't have to be afraid of prayer. And we know that through the Bible. Let's look at 1 John 5:14, 15. "This is the confidence we have in approaching God that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him. We have the confidence that God hears us and hears our prayers. If we pray according to his will and he will supply it. Don't expect to ask for a fistful of dollars and get it, unless that's according to his will. Let's turn to Hebrews 4, 15 to 16. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was sinless. Let us approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Jesus is our high priest, understands as he does our struggle because of what he endured first. And because of him, we can approach him with boldness. He tells us that through the scripture. We can trust in his ability to help us through our troubles, whatever they are. Our relationship with our Savior only deepens through prayer. In Matthew 6, Matthew teaches new Christians how to pray. Why do you think that is? Early on in the Christian church, they didn't usually speak to God directly. Jews at that time recited prayers. If they could afford it and they could read, they would read texts. They recited Jewish prayers, but it's only a start. God wants to hear from us, a personal relationship. And he can't do that while we recite someone else's prayer because it's not personal. In fact, let's look at Matthew 6, 9, because this is how Matthew taught new Christians to pray. Our Father in heaven, acknowledge God as your Father. Hallowed be your name. Honor the name of God. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Pray for God's will to be done. Give us today our daily bread. Ask for your basic needs. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Ask God to protect you from evil. This is the Lord's Prayer. Most of us know it well. Most of us can recite it with our eyes closed, without reading. It's a prayer of worship, of praise, of thanksgiving, a prayer of petition, a prayer of repentance for our sins, and a prayer of forgiveness for others. It ends by asking for protection and deliverance from Satan's evil ways. It's simple and a wonderful example of how to pray. And no matter how good it is still only an example. This prayer doesn't even sound like me. I don't even know what the word hallowed means. I know I've never used it other than this prayer. God wants to hear your words, your concerns, your needs, and your feelings in your voice. The things that are important to you are the very things that are important to him. What happens if we don't know how to pray? We had an example there, right? But if we don't need or we don't know how to pray, Paul in Romans is speaking of our life through the Holy Spirit and shows us that it doesn't matter if we don't have the words. Sarah, could we put up Romans 8, please? Romans 8, 26, 27. This is really neat, this one. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the minds of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Wow! That's pretty amazing. When we don't have the words, or when our back is to the wall, when we don't know the situation of someone else's life, Paul encourages believers to just pray. The Holy Spirit, who lives in all believers, will speak on our behalf. Some people say that there's power in prayer. We've all heard that. There's power in prayer. And it's kind of misleading. It is not found in the exact words we use or how we say them. It is not found in the position we contort ourselves into when we do pray. It is not found in repetition or the number of times that we pray. It is not in the volume we pray, because God hears the whispers of a child. It is not in the place we pray, and it is certainly not in me. The power is found in the one living God in whom we trust. That's where His power comes from. That's where the power of prayer comes from. It doesn't matter how you are dressed or the words you use. It doesn't matter if you're facing north, south, east, or west. It doesn't matter if your hands are raised in the air or in your pockets because you're afraid the Holy Spirit's going to yank them out. That was me early on. I prayed with my hands in my pockets. Hold on to the bottom of my pockets. It doesn't even matter if our eyes are closed or open, unless you're driving. Then I would encourage you that open is probably the best choice. What I'm saying is this. The posture of prayer is in here. Not in outward appearance or what we do or where we say it or how loud we yell from a soapbox. It comes from here. God promises to hear our prayers, and whether He grants our petitions or denies our requests, He is the source of all power. His answer will be in accordance to His perfect will, and only His perfect will. All He asks of us is that we go to Him in prayer. Pray often, without anxiety. Pray in all circumstances, with the assurance of an answer according to His will, and pray in His name. The name of Jesus has authority in heaven and earth. Colossians 3:17, please, Sarah. Do everything in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. When we consider God's holiness and our sinfulness, we may be discouraged from praying. We may think, because of our failures and sinful nature, He doesn't even want to hear from us. However, this is exactly when He wants to hear from us most. When we pray in the name of Jesus, we acknowledge that our access to God the Father comes through the sacrifice that Jesus made for you and me. And it is only through Jesus Christ that we reach the Father in this way. Because we don't have what it takes. We never have. Let's look at John 14, 13 to 14. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. What a promise. However, not only are prayers of the faithful heard. In our reading at the beginning of this message in Acts 12, Peter was taken prisoner. He was held. People had already been killed. There were guards there. They had him chained up, sleeping between two guards. And an angel came and struck him, the Bible says, on the side. Now the Greek word, pataxis, is strike. And it's the same action as with a sword. Not the word tap, which incidentally is tap in Greek. But I found that really interesting. It wasn't, get up. No, the angel struck him. Can you imagine how that scared Peter? And he said, quick, get up. Get your clothes on. It's time to go. And his chains fell off. Now, at the house of Mary, it was filled with people from the church praying for his release. They were still gathered when Peter arrived. And when he knocked on the door, and Rhoda, the girl, came to open the door, she was so surprised she didn't even let him in. And it took much persuasion on her behalf for them to even think to go to the door and check it. And the scripture says they were astonished. Why were they astonished? If they knew what prayer can do through Christ, or Christ can do through prayer, they shouldn't have been astonished. This prayer was answered, even though they did not believe it possible. God heard their prayers and shows us today through that story that his power is over all circumstances. Amen? God doesn't need our help with anything in this world, but he includes us in his miraculous will to demonstrate his love for us and his power over those circumstances. We're completely dependent on him, and every time we pray, we should realize that right here. We have nothing over anything in this world that is not through him. I've been reminded how incredibly effective cooperative prayer is. The trials that I've been through over the last year, as you know, have taken me into very deep waters. And it's through the cooperation and the collective prayers of you, my family, that God has used to get me through and to keep my head above water. More recently, think of Bill's salvation, Bill Todhunter, a group of people gathered together, and people prayed individually for his salvation, for the scales to be torn from his eyes, and for his heart to be softened to hear the name of Jesus calling him. And he said yes. The day before he passed. That's beautiful. And then we heard Helen this morning through prayer about the miracles that God provides us through healing. It is these prayers, the prayers of intercession, that I believe are the most powerful. They are not the ones for our own needs, but a prayer for someone else, that we pray on their behalf. As we know from Paul, we don't have to know what to say. We don't even have to know the circumstance. We don't have to know the words to say or even how to pray. When we demonstrate the selfless act of love by praying for someone else's need or well-being, we align with the biblical principle of putting others before ourselves. The Bible encourages us to pray for others. Let's look at Timothy 2:1-4. I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. It's easy. We're to pray for everyone. For kings and those in authority, that we may live peacefully and quiet lives in all goodness and holiness. What do we do with our politicians? Do we pray for them or do we complain about them? What does the Bible say here? Does it say to complain? No, it says pray for them. Pray for the leaders of government. This is good and pleasing and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of all the truth. We're to pray for the unsaved of this world. In Paul's letter to the church in Ephesians, he wrote about the armor of God. He closes that section of this letter with these verses, Ephesians 6:18-19. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions that all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mysteries of the gospel. Paul is saying, pray for me. So pray for the leaders. Pray for the people that deal with our children. I mean, how awesome it is to send our children out and know that they're going to be dealt with and taken care of and taught in a Christian way. But Paul also says, pray for the saints. Who are the saints? That's you, the believers in Christ, my family. I also want to encourage you to pray for the saints of this church. Can I have the ushers stand up, please? Ushers? Dion? Could you go out and get the packages, the three packages? I want to encourage you to pray for the people of this church, the saints, your brothers and sisters. Virginia has worked very hard on this section. This is our directory. I want every family to get one copy at the moment because we're limited with our supplies. Some photos are still missing. I'm working on that. Some people are missing. I'm working on that too. You will see when you get it that it includes everybody from Adolf to Zimmer and all of you in between. Now, we can be a church that uses this as a directory, as many churches do, and that is for a phone number to invite somebody over for lunch after church. And just for further knowledge, I'm not allergic to anything. I like pets. I can be entertaining at times. And I have never met a meal I haven't loved. Or we can be a church that uses this directory to get to know people. Right? Okay, I saw those people coming through. It is Erwin and Lucy. Right? I mean, how awesome is it to be called your own name. The first time I met Dan, for 2 weeks I called him Jim. He loved it. I mean, who wouldn't want to be named Jim, right? But it took me 2 weeks to memorize what his name was. My mind isn't that good. Or we can be a family that truly cares and loves and prays for each other. You might be wondering that if we use this as a prayer list, you got two? Awesome, thank you. Don't look at yourself in this right away. That's vanity. Bob, he was looking at his new haircut, what it looks like from now to before. He looks good. I want you to take this home and use it as a prayer directory. Now, my goal is to get everyone one. You can have one in the car. You can have one by the telephone at home. You can have it by the couch. And it doesn't matter where you start. I would, however, make a suggestion. If there is anyone or a family that has tension with someone else, if you're hurt by someone and you're unable to talk to them, that's where I encourage you to start. But before you start praying for them, I want you to pray for an open, forgiving heart for yourself. Amen? When you're done that, I want you to continue on through the directory until everybody's done. And then do it again. And do it again. And do it again. It doesn't matter if you do one a day. We're all busy. Well, I'm not. I'm retired. And it's been awesome. It doesn't matter where you are when you pray. We've talked about it. It doesn't matter if you're in bed at 1 o'clock in the morning and you've got 2 seconds, pray for somebody and go to sleep. I'll tell you the power that God has. It doesn't matter where you start, but as you pray for people in this directory, he's going to put you on point at the exact time that is required. This is not an exercise to take lightly. This is God's will for us to pray. Pray for each other. He will bless you. Amen.